We'll turn to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Mike, you might have to help me here this morning with the PowerPoint. We're talking about follow the leader. Follow the leader. Does anybody have any kind of a leader in your life? Yeah, we all have Pastor Ben standing in front of you right now, but we have, in our life, we had parents. We had teachers, principals, police. We have the government. In all various aspects of our life, we all have leaders over us in some way. I have a mutual leadership position with the board. I am the pastor of the church, but I also answer to the board as a group for accountability, in wisdom, in counsel. And they have authority if Pastor Ben ever gets any crazy ideas to put a stop to it. And God knows that Pastor Ben gets crazy ideas. Linda Sue, yeah, you know, you sit in board meetings. And yeah, I think you ate something funny for lunch today because that's a ridiculous idea. But now we all have people that we answer to. And I just want to talk a little bit about leadership this morning. Leadership is an important topic, but I think it's, for a Christian, it's different from what John Maxwell would teach us. Although many of his principles are scriptural principles, there's some things about leadership for a Christian that are different than from the world. Exodus 33, starting in verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that the people arose. Each man stood at the tent door and watched Moses until he'd gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and the people rose and worshipped, each man at his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And he had returned to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Father, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, take this message. Guide my words, I ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Personalities are scripture. See, there's a danger that we fall into when we talk about leadership, where, and we can easily make the mistake where we begin to follow a person versus the scripture and be guided by the scripture. Moses takes his tent and he goes outside of the camp, far outside the camp, and puts his tent there. And God meets with him. Every leader has their style. I have my own personality. I have my own quirks. They say, as a leader, if your people cannot do a good impersonation of you, then you have failed. And if they don't feel comfortable doing an impersonation of you, you have failed. And I've had people impersonate me, and I find it hilarious because I'm just kind of a quirky guy. Each leader has their way that God commands them to lead. I have my personality. I have my own quirks. But I also have the way that God speaks to me and has commanded me to lead. Early on, when I took over leadership here at the church, well, Pastor Ron didn't do it that way. Well, of course he didn't do it that way, because God told him to do it that way. And God is telling me to do it this way. We're different people, and we do different things. And God's, it deals with us individually, and under his leadership, that's the way we went. But now that we're here, this is the direction we're going. As long as a leader does not violate scripture, it's usually a matter of personal preference, and it is neither right or wrong. It is just a neutral issue. You might not like it, but if it's not unscriptural, it's just our preferences. And the problem is we make personalities and preferences override the scriptures. We begin to follow a man and not the Bible and not God, and we begin to exalt our methodology over God and over his word. And that's dangerous, and that's very dangerous. And all of us can easily fall into that trap where we follow a personality and we follow a methodology and we completely miss out on God. I've had days where I've come in and I've gotten busy, I'm making phone calls, getting stuff put together, and I realize I didn't pray. Here I'm busy working for God and I've completely missed God himself. You know, and I really do not believe, especially as a leader, that there is, we often compartmentalize things between the sacred and the secular. I don't do that. Everything is sacred to God. It's all sacred to God. It might not be within inside the confines of the church, but as believers, each and every one of us is the missionary. Ephesians says that you are the ministers. My job is to be the coach, right? You're the team. I'm the coach. Your job is to go out and do the work of the ministry. My job is to make sure that you're doing it and that you're equipped to do it. But all areas of our life intersect together with God, and there is nothing that is not within his oversight. And there's nothing in our life that is not sacred to God. How you drive, how you talk, the way you carry yourself, everything is sacred to God. And everything in our life will be held to account for how we honored him in that. When God institutes leadership, there is a natural culture that develops around a leader. It's normal. It is not wrong. There is a particular culture that is developed within this church under my leadership. But the problem is we begin to exalt that above the scriptures. Mike, could you go to the next slide for me, please? The cult of leadership. We have made leadership a cult within our culture. It says that when Moses went out to the tent to meet with God, the glory comes down and the people worshiped. And there's a problem with that. Not that they worshiped. The problem is worshiping only when you're here. If your connection to God, if your walk with God and your worship life is disconnected outside of this church, that is a problem. When we only worship because the leader is there. When we only walk in obedience to God because pastor's around. Pulling up to the liquor store, making sure that pastor's not at Subway. The issue isn't worship. The issue is worshiping only in connection to your leaders. We often make a cult around leadership. And it is important for us to each develop a personal walk with God that has nothing to do with our pastor. If you only worship when you're here, if you only talk to God when you're here, if you only are spiritual when I am around, that's a big problem. There's a huge disconnect. And that's not God's intention. And we often make a cult of leadership. We exalt leadership. We talk about leadership. There's leadership. Go to the bookstore. There's rows and rows and rows of books on leadership. But here's the thing. For the children of Israel, did you know God did not want to institute the priesthood? It was only after the people refused to come before the Lord themselves that God had no other choice but to institute the priesthood. God wanted the head of each family, the head of each family to come to God on behalf of his family, to offer the sacrifices, to offer the prayers, to be the priest of his own home. That is the desire of God, is for each husbands, for each and every one of you to be the priest of your home, to lead your family, to come before the Lord and to help them each cultivate a personal walk with God. But the problem is we relegate that to Sunday morning, or we relegate that to the kids' pastor to develop the spiritual life of our children. Or when I was youth pastor, well, why is my kid walking in rebellion? Because you walk in rebellion. I get him for an hour each week. You've got him all the rest of the time. What do you think the problem is here? The problem isn't me. The problem is Christ isn't in your home. That's the problem. It is important for the husband, men, develop a personal walk with God. You are the priest of your home. And you've got to lead your family. It is important. And I'm not here to beat on you. I'm here to challenge you, to encourage you, to help inspire you, to rise up and be the priest of your home. That is God's intention for us. But when we default to that's pastor's job, that's Pastor Andy's job, we've developed the cult of leadership. So God institutes the priesthood, and what begins to happen? What happens after he institutes the priest? Idolatry. Moses is now the high priest of Israel, and what's one of the first things he does? Makes the golden calf. See, when we make a cult out of our spiritual leaders, idolatry begins to set in. And he creates this image, this gold image, this golden calf, and calls it by the name of God. Had all the right terminology, but it wasn't the same thing. See, when a leader begins to cater to the desires of the people, we end up with idolatry. Aaron should have stood up in the authority that God had given him. Husband, same thing. Stand up in the authority God has given you and lead your family. No. No, this is wrong. This is not God's intention. No, my kids know this. Like, Dad, can I watch this movie? I don't know anything about that movie, but I'll tell you what, you can watch it for a little bit, but I have the right to shut it off. No questions asked, and my kids know. I can walk right into the room and turn the TV off, and there's not a thing they can do about it. Nope, this is ungodly. Shut it off now. We're not going to watch that. I'm not a tyrant of my home. I have a very close relationship with my children, and they know that when I do that, it's because I love them. But Aaron should have stood up in the midst of the people, said, no. No, this is idolatry. We're not doing that. This is ridiculous. No, you need to take all your golden trinkets and take them back home, and you need to repent because we're not doing this. But Moses disappears up on the mountain. He's gone for 40 days. Nobody knows what happened to him. And Aaron's getting nervous. And so what's he do? He begins to try to make people happy. You can't make people happy. I live to be obedient to God. If you're happy about it, great. But if not, my goal has always been God. And the respect that people had for Moses, because Moses could talk to God for them and they could just be disconnected. You can't be disconnected. We can't be disconnected. We have to stay connected to God for ourselves. God institutes leadership within a church. It's important. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, to edify and build up the body of Christ. Not to do the ministry for you, but to equip you to do the ministry. And that's what we're doing this morning. Quit looking to me to do it for you. You begin to talk to God for yourself. One of the things I learned early on in ministry was I need to work myself out of a job. The more I make these people dependent on God and less dependent on me, the better off things are. That's always my goal, is that you go to God and you connect with him and you walk with him, and that I'm a second thought. I'm just an afterthought. God's heart is for you to come to him. God's heart is for you to know him. God institutes, again, leadership in the church to be equipped so that we walk with God. Listen, I cannot be a substitute for you for God. I can pray for you. I can love you. I can counsel you. I'll weep with you. I'll celebrate with you. I will do weddings. I will do funerals, but I can't be God. And I can't be a substitute for God. And we have to break free from the cult of leadership. God institutes leadership within a church. Pastors are important. Absolutely. But the important thing is that we equip you and train you and teach you to walk with God. Mike, would you flip to that next slide for me, please? Leadership comes from followership. Genuine leaders were first followers. And while I'm the leader of the church, in reality, I'm just another follower. I just follow Jesus. I follow the Holy Spirit where he's leading. No leader wants somebody to be their clone. I'm not looking for clones. I'm looking for people that will follow God. All right, leaders will help. They'll teach. They'll equip. They'll mentor. They'll help lead. But we're not looking for clones. The goal of every leader is not that you do the things that they do, but that you know the God that they knew. Most importantly, is not that you do what I'm doing, but that you know the God that I know. That's what I desire more than anything, is that you walk with God and that you love Jesus like I love him. That you learn to hear his voice. You learn to heed the Holy Spirit. You cultivate an intimate, close friendship with God. The goal of every leader is not that you do the things that they do, but that you know the God that they knew. And unless we develop a connection with God, independent of our leaders, we fall. There are many that will stand before the Lord ill-prepared and ill-equipped because they had a relationship with God that was not independent of their leaders. It was not a personal thing. Moses equipped and trained the people, and he begins to impart into Joshua because one day God moves people on. One day God, this generation will be gone. There'll be another generation of people that will be here. One day all of us will be dead and gone. And are we equipping the church now for the future generations to continue on? The baton gets passed on. Moses passes the baton to Joshua. Aaron passes the baton on to his sons. But the most important thing here is not that Joshua was Moses' protege, not that he had studied under Moses, but what was the most significant thing here? That after Moses had left the tent of meeting with God, Joshua stayed behind. Joshua stayed behind and cultivated a personal relationship with God himself. That is so important. Joshua's relationship with God was far more important than the mentorship of Moses. Leaders, we want you to know and love God the way we know them. Parents, isn't that the goal, that we work ourselves out of our jobs? That they become independent of us? That they begin to lead their lives? We'll always have a connection. We'll always be important to their lives. But even the goal of parents is that they leave us behind one day. We maintain these relationships with them, but they become independent of us. Our leadership is for nothing if after God moves us on, that we do not continue to serve Jesus. Isn't that how you feel as parents? If after I'm dead and gone, if my kids are not walking with God, I that would grieve my heart. So one of my prayers for my kids, Lord, never let them walk in rebellion. And if they ever walk in rebellion, whatever you got to do to bring them back, you do it. I don't care what you do. What's most important to me is my kids walk with God. Remember little Myra Goble? She's in a nursing home up in Bloomington. She prayed for her one wayward son. Whatever the cost, Lord, whatever the cost, you bring him back. Whatever you got to do, God, whatever it takes, I don't care what you do, bring him back. Last slide. Are we following personalities or following scripture? Have we developed a cult of leadership? That's right, it's the sound of a healthy church. That's all right, she can make noise. We cannot develop a cult of leadership. You have to walk with God on your own, independent of my leadership. And genuine leadership comes from followership. Moses followed God. Joshua followed God. Joshua had an intimate connection with God himself. So to the Moseses in the room, those that are parents, leaders of some kind, lead by example and raise up other leaders. Begin to pray for your kids. Whatever the cost, God, they would walk with you. I don't care if they're healthy, wealthy, and wise. I want them to be holy. I don't want them to be cast off at the end, God. Whatever you do, bring them back. Let them walk with you. To those that may not be feel like you're a strong leader, to the people, learn to love and serve and worship God independent of your leadership. I want to get my kids to a place where they worship God on their own. Our little Ray Lynn, that girl is a worshiper. That girl is a worshiper. She sings and she worships. To the Joshuas, our hearts as your fathers and your mothers is not that you do things the way that we do, but that you know the God that we knew. Walk with God. Walk with God. I'm going to ask, could somebody go and bring Pastor Andy real quick? I'm going to have him come and share just for a moment. It's not important that you do the things that we do, but that you know the God that we knew. Pastor Andy's going to come and he's going to share with us real quick.
Hello, hello. Well, 2019 has been a great start to a new year, and we have something we'd like to read for Triumph of Life Church, and just reading it will be easier. So, said, to Triumph of Life Church, and those who I consider family in Christ, the year 2018 began with the word to be still. And in being so, we learned to listen better than we have before. And with improved listening, we began to dial in the things that we've been praying for, personally and as a church. We began to pray prayers that some would call dangerous prayers, because if we believed them to be true, changes could come. With being still, we could hear the direction that God was leading us as a church and personally for our family. As we began to pray the year for 5 church planters and 10 missionaries, we began to see things stirring. Not only in our church, who are several pursuing missions locally and some globally, but also in our hearts. The question was posed several times, what will you do next? But this time I felt as if God were, if it was a call. If you call, will I answer? Will you trust where I lead in 2018? I chose to say yes to God and be open to his leading, even if we didn't know where we were going. As challenging as this thought has been, to leave what we would call family, to set off and do a new journey, we leave behind some who have loved and helped like fathers and some who have loved and helped like mothers for our family. So for the last 6 years, we've been just incredibly blessed by so many in this congregation. And especially Pastor Ben and his family accepting us as a young family, pointing us to work alongside of them and to reach Lonsdale and the surrounding communities for the kingdom. Families have come and some families have gone, but nothing has been more rewarding and impactful than leading people young and old to Christ. Some are seeds that we have planted, some are seeds that we helped grow, and some we just helped grow into stronger believers. I know as Triumph of Life kids have been growing in prayer, knowledge of God's word, building character, and learning to love like Jesus. As a life verse of mine, 1 Timothy 4:12 and 16 says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young, but be an example to believers in what you say and the way you live, in your love, your faith, your purity. Until I get there, focus on reading scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you receive through the prophecy spoken over when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and those who hear you. I hope and pray that my time here at Triumphant Life has exemplified God's word and these verses. It's been an incredible honor to serve here at the church, and as we chose as a church to serve the kingdom of God. So please accept this not as my resignation, but as an answer to prayer so that we've been praying as a church. A calling, a commissioning to what God put on our hearts. Through this, we'll begin a scary, intimidating journey to work towards church planning. And we will begin working as a staff pastor of a parent church in northern Minnesota, and we'll be planning and wrapping up in the first part of February. So, thank you. And we've been so blessed to be a part of this. And when Pastor Ben began those prayers of five church planters, God put it on our heart, like, wow, like, maybe he's stirring us to do something. And, you know, what a cool thing to be at a church where they're okay to send people out and to see people go into different communities to preach the gospel. And so we'll be going on that journey. And, you know, maybe somebody else in here today is one of those other five and thinking of what God is stirring in your hearts. And it takes time to be obedient, as we learned, and it's difficult, but you know what? Obedience to God and his, what he's put on your heart is what's the most important. So thank you, Pastor Ben.
Three or four months ago, a good friend of mine, a pastor from Dodge Center, called me up. He's like, I got to talk to you. I'm like, okay, what's up? Pastor Andy's leaving. I said, he tell you that? No, the Lord told me that. And he's sending him off. And it's time. And God is going to raise up other leaders. But, you know, I've known this day was coming for months before probably even Pastor Andy knew this was coming. The scripture tells us the Lord does nothing unless he reveals it first to his servants, the prophets. And not too many things take me by surprise. I pleaded with God to change his mind. But the Lord said, no, I haven't changed my mind. And we've sought to create a safe environment here where for the last couple of years we've, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? If you could stay here forever, if you want to go somewhere else, where would you go? What would you do? Just allowing him to dream and to think and to pray and do that together. Because I've always known that this church doesn't belong to me. You don't belong to me. You know, you belong to the Lord. What are we going to do next? I don't know. Take a look at where we're at as a church. Who are you going to hire next? I don't know. I got people in mind, but I'm not ready to make that decision yet. I'm going to take some time, and we're going to figure out where we're at as a church. See what we need to strengthen, what we need to cut loose, and go from there. But we have great days ahead. We are sad. This will be very, very difficult for all of our children. Our kids are extremely close. Vanessa is, and Drew have known each other since they were 3 years old. But it's time, and he's going to work towards being a church planter, working with the parent church that can. He's going to work with an experienced church planner, and then hopefully they will then sponsor him when it's time. I don't have that experience. I'm not a church planter, and I'm okay with that. I have my unique skills and background. If you need to cast a demon out of somebody or deal with drug addicts, I'm your guy, but I never planted a church. And so we're going to honor them. We're going to, February 3rd is their final Sunday. We're going to pray for them. And we're going to bless them and release them. I've also asked, we haven't made a decision on it yet, but I did ask the board that we at least pay them all of February because they're going to be in transition and money's going to be tight. And we want to honor them and bless them as they go. Because if we have a heart of generosity towards God's leaders, God will have a heart of generosity and blessing towards us. we will need another 21 day of prayer and fasting. And this is a good thing. We've prayed for God to send our people, and he's doing it. So it's sad when you become the victim of your own prayer. But I want to see, there are people within our church that God is raising up. I see leadership on various people. I see the ministry call on various people that I want to mentor, that I want to push forward. And hopefully in time we can bring some of them on staff. But we're not there yet. And we're going to pray and seek God. And it's all right to be sad and mad and angry. He's going to go church to plant the churches. You know, well, let's see what I can do. But all these various emotions that we have to process as we process our grief. I about reached through the phone and hit my friend, Roy. You false prophet, who do you think? But I knew in my heart he was right. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to just wrap up. And we'll dismiss. Father, thank you that you're not allowing us to build a cult around Pastor Andy. Thank you for his leadership here. Thank you for all that he imparted here to my children personally, God. What a huge thing it is to entrust your children to somebody. And he's always just been so awesome. And Lord, we just stand with this family as they're looking into the future and getting trained and equipped, Father, to plant a church as you're moving them on, Lord. We ask for your provision and protection over them. And watch over the church as we process our grief, Lord. As we have the various stages of grief that we have to walk through as a pastor and a friend moves on, Lord. We just need you, Holy Spirit. And God, great things are ahead. Great things are ahead. Lord, as we move on into a new property and building, with new leaders. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. So bless them, God. Bless them. Father, bless our children and help them process their grief and their loss. All of the kids, Lord, that have built a relationship with Pastor Andy, Father, that will be hurt. Lord, walk them through that and give us wisdom as a church and as families to walk with them through that loss. Lord, we just thank you that you are the God and you are the pastor of this church, not me. You're the great shepherd. We trust your leadership, Lord, even when we don't understand it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you. You are dismissed. Make sure you love the mixers very much and plead with them.